If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, begin reading this morning with verse 38. Let us hear together the word of the Lord. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. This is the word of the Lord today, and we are thankful for it. A few weeks ago, when we dealt with this whole passage, this whole section of Jesus' teaching, I suggested to you that what Jesus was saying, and particularly the old law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, was literally about being fair. You don't want to take your retaliation too far. For instance, if in our courts today you were to find out that someone had gotten into an altercation, there was a fight, and someone punched and they knocked their tooth out, they took it to court, and the jury came back and found the person who had done the punching guilty and gave them the death penalty for that, you might say, whoa, wait a minute, that's just a little bit overboard. It needs to be fair. The crime and the punishment need to be compatible with one another. Our legal system is based on that. That's how we understand life. There is a fairness to that. And Jesus gives us a few examples of that. He begins to show us that in life, it is not only just doing that which is fair, but to go above and beyond that. You see, we all know that it would not be correct if someone tapped us in the back in traffic and really they just made a scratch on our car. We know it wouldn't be right to demand a new car out of it, right? Okay, I was just making sure. You just need to fix the scratch. That's fair. And that was the law of the Old Testament. It's the law of our day. But Jesus takes that and he begins to say to us, not only in the kingdom of God do we call one another to fairness, we move beyond that and go over and above and beyond that. And he gives us a number of examples here. Someone should slap you on the right cheek. Instead of reaching back and giving them another one, turn to them the other also. You're going to get smacked twice, but that's just what Jesus is saying. If someone comes and wants to take your coat away from you, maybe you had borrowed their coat and lost their coat, or maybe you borrowed their coat and you decided it'd be a fun idea to have a tug of war amongst your friends and you used your friend's coat for that and it got torn up, whatever the case may be. And he comes and he says, listen, now I want your coat for what you have done. Jesus says, don't just give him your coat, give him your cloak also. Go above and beyond. If someone requires you to go a mile with them, go 2 miles with them. This was a very real thing in Jesus' day because the areas where the Roman soldiers, where the Empire of Rome, where they had conquered and where they had their soldiers in place in a given community, the soldiers had a right to come and knock on your door and to require you to carry their burden or to borrow your animal to carry the burden for 1 mile. That was the law. You had to do that. That was the law of Rome. We see an example of this when Jesus was being crucified. The Roman soldier went over because Jesus kept falling down with the load of the cross on him. He went over and he got Simon the Cyrene to come and carry his cross. The Romans had the right to conscript anybody to carry their load. So for instance, let's say you've been working all day in the fields. You're tired and you're worn out. You've come home and all day long all you've been thinking about is, I can't wait till I get home and that wonderful dinner that my wife has prepared for me. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink and I'm just going to lay back. I'm going to kick back. I think Monday Night Football is on tonight and I'm just going to watch some football. And suddenly there's a knock on the door. Well, let me correct that. Roman soldiers don't knock. There's a banging on the door. And he says, you get out here and you carry my pack. And because it was a custom, what most of the Israelites had done was they had paced off exactly a mile in each direction from their house and had driven a stake in the ground so that when they got to that mile point, when they got to that stake, they took that pack and they dropped it on the ground and said, that's as far as I'm going to go. It's on you now, buddy. And Jesus says, no, if someone requires you to go a mile, go 2 miles with them. Now let me ask you something. It seems to me that the fairness doctrine was probably a pretty good deal. What do you think? Because truth be told, in our world, people aren't even fair. If you're fair in life with other people, you will be head and shoulders above other folks. True story. A young man asked his father, as he was starting into the business world after he had graduated from college, he goes, I would like some advice. I'm sure all of you fathers, your sons or daughters have come to you and said, I would like some advice. And so what would you say to them? You know, what kind of advice would you give? How to make it in this world? This is what his father told him. He said, show up on time. If you're supposed to start work at 8 o'clock, be there at 8 o'clock. Don't run out the door early. Stay until you're supposed to leave. And if you really want to knock the ball out of the park, do what you're supposed to be doing when you're supposed to do it. And would you believe that that young man quickly rose to be the vice president of that company? Because he stood so far above and beyond everybody else. What his father had basically said is, be mediocre, and you'll be knocking it out of the park compared to everybody else. People aren't even fair anymore. Imagine again, you're in an automobile accident. You weren't paying attention. Maybe you were turning the dial on the radio or answering your phone, whatever it was. But it was just a oopsie-daisy little fender bender. No big deal. No harm, no foul. My insurance company will take care of you. But you get a summons in the mail that says that you now have to go to court because they're suing you for $500,000. Because it traumatized their cat. Right? Fair is not even part of the picture anymore. It's not how we think. We when we're fair, we go above and beyond. Stephen Covey, I don't know if you remember any of his books. He had a number of them that were very popular a few years ago. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People was one of those. Leadership, there were a number of them. He had a little thing that he practiced in his seminars. And it was an arm wrestling deal. Jim, feel like arm wrestling? Do you feel like arm wrestling? Yeah. Come on up. Now, Jim's bigger than me, and Jim's stronger than me, and Jim doesn't have a coat on, so this isn't really fair.
Oh.
All right, but we're going to arm wrestle, okay? And here's the deal. This really isn't going to happen, but we're going to pretend like it's going to happen.
Got it.
Every time you win, you get a dollar.
All right.
Every time I win, I get a dollar.
From who?
Well, from somebody. It's probably the government.
Ah.
It's a program to get arm wrestling going again.
Absolutely.
They don't feel like enough arm wrestling
Absolutely.
Is happening. Okay, so here we go. You ready?
Ready.
All right. You're not really cooperating with me here. Do you get the deal?
Yes.
You are fighting with me.
Okay.
You get a dollar every time you win.
Right.
I get a dollar every time I win. It doesn't come out of your pocket. Now, come on. Let's do this.
Right, ready?
You're not getting this. You get a dollar every time you win.
Got it.
I get a dollar every time I win.
Okay.
All right, let's go. You're hopeless. We did not.
I was going to donate the dollar.
We did not rehearse that ahead of time. Completely on the spot. His point is, and this has happened every time I've tried this, it doesn't cost you anything to let me win.
Nope.
But you weren't going to let me win.
Nope.
Because we live in a win-lose society.
Yep.
We don't even live in a fair society. We don't even live in a cooperative society.
Nope.
Had we been smart, I would not have resisted him and he would have not resisted me. And we would have been banking the money. But in our world, it's, I want it all. I want to win. I want to beat you. So when Jesus comes up and he says, don't just be fair, go overboard. We're like, come on, fair is better than you're going to get anywhere else in the world. And yet Jesus says, when that soldier comes and he knocks on your door and he requires you to go 1 mile, hit that stake, you see it coming. You've got that backpack on your back. The Roman soldier knows that you are only required to go 1 mile. When you get to that stake, when you see it coming, instead of dropping that load off your back, keep on going. And eventually the Roman soldier is going to say, I think your mile is up. And you say, I know. I'm living a different ethic. I'm playing a different game. Now here's the sad news. Do you think the Roman soldier is going to change? No. Do you think the Roman world is going to change? No. So going the extra mile, going overboard, it does not change the world. So why do we do it? Why is it fair good enough? It goes back to that total ethic by which we live our lives. We're not living to be fair. We're not putting our comparisons to everyone else in the world. We are modeling our lives after God. And when we're living in this world, we're imitators, not of the ethic around us, not of the way people do things, not the books that say this is the way you get ahead. We live in a way that we model the ethic of the kingdom of God. We model what it's like, what God in Christ has treated us like in grace. And even when you give your grace to people, they're probably not going to change. They're probably going to take advantage of you. But that's okay because people take advantage of God. People are always coming to him and saying, give me, I deserve, without ever realizing what we really deserve. And so what Christ is calling us to, as we said week after week now, it is not some kind of ethic where we impress people or where we rise above the level of everybody else in the world. We seek to live our lives as imitators of God. Now you start thinking about that a little bit. And that'll start messing with your brain. Someone comes up and insults you. They say something bad about you. The fairness rule is you get to say something back to them. And you've got some doozies you've been cooking up. Now, of course, it would be unfair to say something about their mama at that point. That's going too far. That's going underboard. Jesus says instead of returning the insult, instead of just being fair, instead of getting down in the dirt that this world is, turn the other cheek and let them smack you again. You know why? Because God takes insult after insult after insult from us. And he still, while we were yet sinners, sent his one and only Son to die for us. Someone comes and borrows money from you. And they don't ever pay it back. I have seen families ruined because somebody owed somebody else $25. Really? $100. I don't care what the amount is. Relationship is precious. And I don't care what dollar amount you put on it. Nothing's worth throwing it away. God doesn't do that. Our debt to him is so large we couldn't begin to pay it, so he paid it off for us. And he has never once come to anyone in creation and says, now I've got you on a payment plan. You better start paying that back, baby. That's how God is. I'm just going to do as much as I have to do and not 1 ounce more. Kind of sounds like what marriage is a lot of times. Did I say that out loud? I've actually heard counselors say that if husbands and wives were as nice to one another as they are to strangers, their marriage would be better in the snap of a finger. I love this person. But they owe me. No, it's not what you have to do. It's going the extra mile. It's going overboard. It's constantly. We begin to bring that ethic into our life as imitators of God. Some of you may remember that a few years ago, our church had a co-ed softball team. Does anybody remember that? Okay, there's a few here. Yes, you were. Because we were so bad. This is embarrassing. The other teams would spot us 10 runs to start the game. I remember one particular game. We lost 47-12. 10 of those they had given to us. I remember, you know, you do this little thing like the pros do. You go down, good game, good game, good game. I'm going down going, doesn't the winner buy dinner? Doesn't the winner buy dinner? Doesn't the winner? Greg, do you remember that? No, you don't. Good move, my man. Block it out of your memory. I was never a part of this. The NASDAQs, that's right, yeah. It was only that one season. We didn't go back. We decided softball probably wasn't our game. But I thought about that. We could have gone back. We could have played a different game. Now, I know we were playing softball and everything else, but I mean, were we really there to play softball? Were we really there to win? Obviously not. No. We were there to be imitators of God, to shine forth His glory, to show you that we can still have joy and a really good time even when we're getting pounced into the ground. Amen? We can encourage and wow, what a great hit that was. We don't have anybody who can get it out the infield. You're out of the park. We could show love. And I'm sure that everybody would love to play us. It's a guaranteed W on the schedule. You know what I'm saying? I was in Tombstone one time, and I was at a restaurant, and I had on a University of Tennessee shirt, and I'm walking by, and this guy goes, "I hate you guys." He was from Alabama. And I said, "Friend, you ought to love us. Third Saturday of October every year, that's a W right there on your calendar. You win it every year. You ought to, yeah, go Vols." If we can figure out what it's like to imitate God playing softball, I wonder if we can't figure that out in every other area of life. Husbands and wives, that means you're outdoing one another who can show the most love. I think the Apostle Paul says that, by the way. In work relationships, you're the guy, you're the lady who is there on time, doesn't leave early, who's doing what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it, who maybe even goes a step further than that. And if there's a project that's going to take 30 minutes more than what you normally your time is, you go ahead and stay, and you're just kind of doing that, not because you want to earn brownie points. You're doing that because we live in this world as imitators of God. I saw a traffic accident one day. You ever seen one of those? Some of them are pretty scary. I don't know what on earth this poor little girl was thinking. I'm not even sure she was tall enough to see over the top of the steering wheel. That may have been the problem. She blew right through a red light. And, you know, the guy who thought he had the right of way because he had the green light, wham, right into the side. He couldn't even open his door. It was jammed shut. He had to put his car in park, get out the side, and go over, and he made sure that the girl who had hit him was okay. She was crying and blubbering and all the kind of stuff. Now, everybody here would understand if he got angry, right? "I love my car. It's never going to be the same again. This is going to be terribly inconvenient. What on earth were you thinking, you..." Right? I loved what he said. He put his arm around her from the side. And he says, "If this is the worst thing that ever happens to you, you will live a very blessed life. The love of Christ. Imitators of God." Jesus isn't saying, "Step up your game. Go overboard. It's going to make the world a happier place." Because let me tell you, he went overboard. He gave and he gave and he gave. And they ended up taking him to a trial where people lied about him. And they lashed him until he was just a beaten pulp. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a crossbar of a cross on his back. Because of all of the exhaustion, because of the weight, because of all of the blood loss that he has experienced, he couldn't even stay upright and carry that load. Someone carried it for him. They took him up a hill They nailed him to a cross. And all the while he's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You read the Gospels. You read and see how God has dealt with us throughout all of creation, and how good he has been. And that's the example God's calling us to live. There's an old hymn. It's so old, I don't even remember the words to it like I ought to. This is a preacher's hymnal. It has a leather binding instead of a hardback binding. I got this in 1993. Don't have much use for it anymore. But I looked up this song this week. You know, sometimes what people used to do is they would use a hymn book for a devotion book. That's a kind of neat idea, isn't it? There's some of these songs that, wow, they blow you away. Listen to some of the words of this song. Really a prayer. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly, I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to bear. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, that's what it says, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive thy anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. I think sometimes we forget the game that we're playing. It's not a game to win and others lose. It's not a game where I become great. It's not a game where you're not going to get 1 ounce on me. Our call is through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us to be like Him. In every moment of our lives. Let us pray. Lord, within our society, we're always so worried about what's going to work, what's going to have the best outcome. What's going to make me successful? And your word tells us over and over again that that is a dead-end path. It's not what we're called to. In the beautiful language of Isaiah, we are called to walk on the holy way. And at times that's going to cost us dearly because people will take advantage of us. At times it's going to break our heart because people will revile us and persecute us and say all manner of evil against us falsely. At times we're going to just want to throw our hands up and give up. No wonder the Apostle Paul told us, do not grow weary in doing good, because it'll wear you out. It'll sap every ounce of life you have out of you. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to play other kinds of games, forgetting that we have a unique calling within this world. To be imitators of Christ. To see your way and hear your call and walk in it. To look at situations not through the lens of the latest philosophy or idea that's floating on social media, but to look at life through the lens of what you do for us. And then figure out what that would mean for us to do in each and every circumstance and situation, that we might be imitators of God. Lord, we confess even to you now that there are many times that we fall so short of that. But Lord, by your Spirit, living and reigning within our hearts, we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to guide us. We ask you to teach us. We pray that you would just put it in our hearts that we would constantly be coming before you and saying, okay, in this circumstance, in this situation, what should I do? Not what should I do to get ahead. Not what should I do to win. What should I do to shine forth your glory? What should I do to be like Christ? Because if just being fair sets one heads and shoulders above the rest of the world, being like you allows us to be ministers and ambassadors of grace in our world. Help us to set our goals, our priorities, in the places you have called us to. And bring conviction upon our hearts when we set the bar way too low. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together with me and receive God's blessing upon your heart and life? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen and amen.